Thank the Lord this evening for salvation. I'm thankful to be saved. I sure appreciate all that God has done for me. I don't know what I would do this evening without the help and mercies of the Lord. This evening, I'd like to look in the book of Ephesians and start off here. And we'll read just a little bit. I am thankful this evening for the quickening power of God. And I believe that is what we need working in our life each and every day, the quickening power of God. And it says here in the second chapter in the first verse, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Thank God this evening for the quickening power of the Lord. The quickening power, dear ones, is what we need to change our lives. He said, "Ye were by nature the children of wrath. You did in your past times walk in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." We just sort of fell into this thing. We didn't have much of a choice starting off. Our conversation was not with godly intent. Our conversation was not something that edified. Our mind and what we were thinking about was not on things that were good. We were by nature the children of wrath. We were bent toward evil. We had that bend, and that bend was just enough to throw us off and get us into a life of sin and degradation and all kinds of evil. But he said here, "But you hath he quickened." Quickening means to make alive. To be quickened means to be changed. It means to be brought from a dead state of sin into a resurrected power of Jesus Christ working in our life and helping us to come from the unfruitful works of darkness into this marvelous light wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is being converted. It's being changed. It's being transformed, regenerated. There's something about this power of the gospel this evening. We don't want to touch any part to taint it with anything of our lives. We don't want to touch it to change it. We want to be changed ourselves. We want the Lord to help us to be quickened and to be transformed like he's speaking about here today. I love this fourth verse. It says, "But God." But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Thank God this evening for that. I would like to talk to us. I have a few things wrote down here. I hope you can bear with me. I'd like to look at the difference tonight of being lazy and being slothful. There is a difference between laziness and slothfulness. The Greek word nothros, N-O-T-H-R-O-S, nothros, nothros, something dull, monotonous, or unexciting, something slow and sluggish, something that has lost momentum or speed. This something is still moving, but isn't moving with the same velocity or aggressiveness it once had. It has lost the drive, the thrust, the impetus, pace and speed it once possessed. This word, therefore, presents the idea of someone who was once zealous about something, but whose zeal has now dissipated, replaced instead by neutrality. So, this evening, the Lord wants to help us to realize that we're in a race. We are escapees. We are people that are running for our life. We are with all of our heart trying to make heaven our home. And we need to earnestly and vehemently desire the things of God. We need to overcome the flesh. We need to overcome the things that slow us down. So God wants to bless us this evening. There was a call came in a couple of years ago, I think it was, and these three boys was down on the Arkansas River. They were not boys. They was 23, 24, 26 years old, somewhere in that area. And the first one, they'd been partying some and drinking, thought they would go and try to catch some fish and do some noodling. And so they go to this river park, and there's a beautiful overflow fountain like they have there. And when the water's up, the water spills over this fountain, and it makes a churning effect, and it looks beautiful. It's in an arch. It's arched out there a ways. And first one decided that'd be the place to go. So he got over there and jumped off in that, and they seen him bob up one time, and then he was gone. A few minutes went by, and the next one thought they would go get him. And he jumped in, and he never resurfaced. And the third one got over there to help him, and he kind of fell in, and he never resurfaced. And what happened later, I was helping to get this one boy in a body bag, me and these other men, and this was a strong young man. He was not something that was just weak and sickly. Like, he was a muscular build young man. He was strong, but he got caught in the boil. He got caught in the boil, and that old boil, the hydraulic pressure that comes down off of that fall, and when it hits the bottom, it makes a circular motion. And when you get into that, I just been to a little class and a week before that, of all things, and they talked about the boil and this hydraulic pressure that's underneath there, and how it's next impossible to get out of unless you can find the bottom and take off life jackets and just get down to nothing almost and push off and go underneath that you can even escape something like that. And these three young guys lost their lives that day there because they got caught in the boil. And it made such an impression on my mind. I thought of how we need to be very careful. I'm not talking about swimming now. I'm not talking about, and there's enough dangers in that, but I'm talking about the world and its pull. The scripture we just read said you were by nature the children of wrath. There is that tendency in every one of us to sin. And God wants to help us this evening to overcome and to get out of those things that are surely designed for our destruction. They're designed to keep you under and hold you under and not let you surface again. Their design is so powerful, folks. Without God's help, we won't make it. There are so many things out there that we don't need to sample to find out how bad it is. There's things that I know that I've looked at pictures. They had arrest records of this one woman. The first time she was arrested and brought in into jail, they had her picture. They had her picture another time. It was a few months, maybe a year or so later. And they had three or four different pictures and showed this beautiful young woman and what she looked like. But she tasted one time, she tasted the wrong thing. And they gave her, and she got on some drug, and that was so powerful that it took that lady, that young lady with her beautiful looks and her beautiful future ahead, and it made her in just a few years look like a haggard old woman. I'm talking about sunken cheeks and their eye sockets, and her eyes was darkened. There was the lack of sleep. Sometimes the people getting on those drugs can go for 2 weeks and just on it with hardly any sleep at all, and going and going and out of their mind. I tell you this evening, we need something to help us, because there's people that slip over that edge and they fall over that edge. And I've seen young men steal the tires off of their mother's car and sell them to buy drugs. I've seen so many things that reminds me how powerful that sin is and its grasp. And when it gets a hold of it, it's much like that boil that's churning there. If you all saw that at nighttime, and I think they have lights that shine around that little, and it wasn't more than 8 foot deep, I don't believe, because probing around there, I don't think it was much more than 8 feet. It was just enough to get your feet knocked out and get you churning, and you didn't know which way was up. You're caught in it, and it's the pressure to tear your clothes off. It is such a powerful force. It completely controls you then. Sin is that way. We don't want to play with it. We don't want to go around and let it get a grasp on us, because it will pull us down. It will hold us. And sometimes it doesn't take that much, folks. It doesn't take that much to keep us underwater. I'm telling you, it doesn't take a very big string attached to your leg to just keep you just below the water enough that you can't get air. God wants to help us this evening and recognize that we have a quickening power. We have to stay in the parameters that He's designed. Folks, it's a close walk, and there's things we got to be careful of. You got to be careful, all of us. I do, you do. But what we see, what we hear, what we let affect us, because this pull is something so real. It is trying to draw us down. It's trying to pull us back. I remember as a boy, had a heavy rain there in Tulsa, and both of my brothers, we were out, went down to Penny Park, and the water had just flooded the park, and the lid came off of the sewer drain, the storm sewer. It had a big lid on it, and that lid, through the pressure, I guess the water below it and blowing up, it knocked the lid off, and then it became like a big vortex, and it started pulling everything in. Water was dumping down that storm sewer very rapidly, and it made this whirlpool. And my middle brother, it was, all three of us was in the water, and we just saw that. We wanted to get close and kind of see what was, you know, what was happening. Boys are curious, and they want to see what that noise is and what all is happening. And it took my middle brother, kind of caught him off his feet, and he started heading toward that vortex. And that was just, had such power. My oldest brother waited out and got a hold of him and pulled him back in. And my mom wasn't with us. It's just us three boys, and we're just having a good time. But I tell you, those little innocent-looking things and freak-looking things, how could it happen? Well, it happens in just that way. There's nobody, no adult around. There's nobody watching. and we just see something that looks exciting. It's something that looks like we really could talk about. We just have loved water. We would dam up our street and keep the rain from going in the gutters and flood our street. You know, when we were boys and just loved to see cars have to try to drive through it. It's just something. We was amazed by the water, and this was just another thing. We saw how powerful it was, and it was just carrying down that drain. I want to say to us this evening, watch. Our curiosity can get us into trouble sometimes. There's things that just look so tempting, so innocent sometimes, and you get caught in it, and it's very difficult to get out. And I'm telling you, I have confidence these three young men that lost their lives, at least one of them I know could have made it physically. They were big enough. They were agile enough and strong enough. They could have got out had they known what they was, they wouldn't even jumped in had they known what they were getting into. I tell you this evening, God wants to help us. When I see dangers and pitfalls, it makes me want to say, don't go there. Don't do it. Just stay away from it. It's too dangerous. It can cost us something here. Be careful. Be careful, because something can happen and we don't know. We're not aware. We're caught unawares. So this evening, being slothful can cause us to become dull and monotonous and unexciting. Something slow and sluggish. Sometimes it's hard for us to get motivated about doing things for the Lord. It's hard for us to get excited about things because it requires sacrifice, and generally that runs off a lot of people because it takes some of our time. He's saying to us, be careful. Don't be slothful. In the book of Hebrews 6 and 12, we could read that, and it says something that, be not slothful in business. Hold on just a second here. Hebrews 6 and 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through patience, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. So, the Lord bless us this evening. There's times that we're going to have to put our self-life down. We're going to have to ask God to quicken us by His Spirit. There's a task that we need to perform. There's something we have to do, and He doesn't want us to balk at it. He wants us to keep going. I got a call some time ago, maybe a year ago, and this sister in the congregation, it was one of those deals. It was her daughter's friend. Her daughter's friend's mother. All right, that's a problem already when you... Well, her, and they were telling me, you need to go see them. They're dying. And what's their name? And I got their name, what hospital they're in. And so I went to the hospital, went up to that floor. And, before I got there, I'd ask about this person. They said, no, there's no one there. But they gave me one that was just down the hall or something. And so I went in there and knocked on, and there was a lady there, an older lady. And I said, are you so-and-so? No, I'm not. I went back downstairs. So I had three different names for this individual. Well, maybe their last name was Morris. Morris. That's it. And so I went to the lady and said, do you have anybody by this name? No, we don't. But there's another one that, and I went back up three times knocking on doors, and it was embarrassing. And I called the lady back, and she said, well, just go home. I don't know what their last name is. And I thought, well, I'm going to stay here just a little longer. I'm going to find out, because now I've got my curiosity up, and I thought, I'm already here, and I'm going to find who this lady is. So finally, the lady helped me at the desk to give me different names, and we went over and over them, and I finally said, that could sound like Morris. And anyway, we made a connection. I went up and there I found the lady. There she was. I had all the names wrote down, but I've lost that somewhere because I thought someday I'm going to tell somebody what happened to me. And sure enough, there she was, and she was so glad that I came. I want to say to us this evening, without the quickening power of God working in our lives, we are going to miss out on heaven if we're not careful. There is a person that you're supposed to meet somewhere. There's somebody that God is wanting you to contact, and He's wanting to see how earnest that we are. Are you slothful about it and you put off? Now, I've got to tell you some other stories. Another one, I don't want you to just think I make 100% on all the deals that I go on, because it's not true. I got another call, and a person said, my dad is dying, and he wants to hear some of these old songs again, these old church hymns. He wants to hear them. And it was Brother Sam Barton's son, Sam Barton. I thought, there's an opportunity. And we were going to revival meeting that Brother Marty was having in Shawnee. And I thought, okay, as soon as I get things over. And he died on a Saturday, a Friday. And I got the call like on a Sunday. Oh, you know, sometimes it pays for us to listen to the Lord. It pays for us to be careful in what we do. I can tell you some other things that I failed in too. I'd rather not. But I can tell you on the positive side, I've seen a lot of things God has done to quickening us. Quickening. Warning. Talking to us. Helping us. And we have to kick slothfulness out of the way. We have to just say, I know I don't feel good. I don't feel the best. I know I'm limited what I can do, but I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord. And however weak we feel, we need to go through with that and do that. That's what God wants us to do. My dad, one time, I knew he was getting up in years, and I needed to talk to him. And every time I talked to him, my dad always dominated the conversation. I could not get a word in edgewise sometimes. He had a solution for the problem going on with a lack of police and fire and ambulance. He was wanting to make the policemen, firemen and all of them, they could fight fires with one day, you know, and be a police, and they could be a paramedic and do all these things, and it answer all, and he could get started in that. And before I know it, you know, time got in the way and hadn't got anywhere. But this day I said, how you doing, Daddy? You know, Daddy, I sure appreciate you. Remember that time you bailed me out of jail? Remember that time you've always kept clothes on our back, and you've fed us and been, and he'd start to cut me off. And I said, you know, Daddy, I just want to tell you today how much I thank you for being so good to me and helping me. And he tried to interrupt me again about the third time he saw I wasn't quitting. I kept going on. I said, you have put up with so much for us. Done so many things and worked yourself, wore your knees out, and you've sacrificed that we could have a good life. And I just want to thank you, Daddy, for helping us. And it got real quiet on the other end. And after my dad died, I was so glad for that conversation. Slothfulness, pride, those things are opposite of the quickening Spirit of God. And they are the things that we have to fight against as young people. We need to memorize the scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do that with His help. I can push through and make it. You know, young people, one of the greatest challenges we face as young people, I say we, you face in your life as a young person is overcoming your unchangeable features. Overcoming your unchangeable features. You can't change your height, your skin color. You can't change anything about you. You've got certain things you're stuck with. And God made you just like that. I tell you, if I'd have had my choice, there'd have been some things I got that I would have designed myself different. How about you? You have a few things? Yeah, I didn't always. One of the guys teased me, said, Bell, you're so ugly, you had to tie a bone around your neck to have a dog play with you. They just all kinds of little things like that. Wouldn't it be nice if some of us had better looks? Wouldn't that be kind of in store? Wouldn't that be nice? You can't do it. You can't change your pimples. You can't change all the, and I know people go to great lengths to get all of these things fixed. Wear high heels. I was walking these, when I was in high school in 73, they had those big old tall, why do they call them shoes? And here these little girls, they wasn't very big, but they had them platform deals on this, walking down the stairs in front of us and just talking and chewing gum and carrying on. And then big old tall sheer, the shoes just sheared off and she was walking the heels of them and she was like a duck, just flat footed around there. I thought, how vain. I didn't dare say anything. They was big enough to pick me up by the nape of the neck and give me a hard time. But how many things have we tried to change in life? We want to change this and that, and we want to look just a certain way. And God is saying to us, those things are the natural things. Those things are all fleshly, and they really don't amount to nothing compared to eternity. Learn to live with your unchangeables. Learn to ask God to give you a quickening and bring you to life and help you to see that you've got all that you need. You've got hands. You've got a beautiful voice. You're beautiful. And God loves you just like you are. You don't have to put on no front. You don't have to try all of these things out. God loves you just like you are. Be contented. Be happy where you're at and learn how to just live life and enjoy it without being such under bondage so much of the time. I see young people, and I'm not picking on you, but I know how it was in my age. And I know how it can be so uncomfortable because we want to have that look. We want to have that smell. We want to have all those things going on. And I see the men doing it sometimes. I said, when I get done sometimes hugging the men's neck, I have a variety of smells. Sometimes I smell like Ralph Lauren, and sometimes I don't know who all. I've got one brother that, bless his heart, he just puts on some kind of Old Spice or something. I'm going to get in trouble, but we need to be just people of God, clean people. I'm not talking about not coming up to God's standards and being quickened, being healthy, being clean and all that, but be what God wants you to be and do your best for Him. The real happiness comes from within, and when you've got that, tell the world goodbye. Forget about what their eyes, they look at you today. Because 40 years from now at your class reunion, like I just went with my wife to her 40-year class reunion, I thought we're in the wrong place with all these old people. But it won't matter in 40 years. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter today. God's got a wonderful plan, and He's looking down. All He needs is a heart that's willing to be quickened. And that willingness will keep you out of the boil. That willingness will help you to be prompted when you're tempted to slow down and you lose this momentum. When you lose the momentum, God can come by and set a spark, and that spark will fire you up again and help you to keep going along. Believe me, this old world is out to put clamps on you to slow you down. This world is out to weigh you down by all of their so-called the glamour and the beauty and all the fashions. All that's designed is to weigh you down. It's get you so weighted down and having this look. Oh, look at that beautiful person. Oh, if I bought those clothes, I'd look just like her. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. It's going to take more than clothes. It's going to take more than clothes. What we need to concentrate on is that hidden man of the heart and that hidden woman. You get down to the hidden woman of the heart and where that young person, we can have the life of Christ in us. And everything else kind of falls away. When you've got a smile on your face and you've got direction in your life, the world will stop and they'll say, there comes a woman that knows where she's going. Step aside. Let her go. She knows where she's got determination. She can make it. The person that has to flatter with their eyelids and has to go through the glamour and all this stuff and make this impression and put all the things on. Listen, it's a bondage. It's a bondage, folks. God wants to bless us today to stay free in our life. Stay free. God made you like you are. He made us. Sometimes He put some little defects in there. Just mark it down. This is one of God's little defects, and He's got a plan for that too. He's got a plan for that because He knows if He can slow you down, He knows if He can cause this one little thing to slow you down, it'll keep you out of a lot of troubles later. Believe me, I know. I know God has got ways of doing things for us and to us that'll protect us through life and keep us from evil. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was lots of things that was going on. It's so easy to get off in the wrong channel, the wrong road. It'd be so easy. It was so easy. It was the natural thing to go that way. But oh, there was something always tugging around at my heart that'd come around when I'd do something wrong that I'd think of, and I'd think, I want to go to heaven. I had a very peculiar thing happened to me when I was a boy. I was out on 48th Street. I was looking out. It was a real cloudy day. And it was in the summertime, springtime. It was warm weather. And I was outside and I was looking. And as I looked off toward the east, there out of the clouds came like a big flat a bed. And it was just let down. And there was like ropes that came down. I know it sounds foolish, but it was so real to me. I saw that go down, and then I saw it go back up. And I told my mom about it, but it was hard to describe. It's kind of hard for me to say anything about that today, because I know some people don't put much stock in that, but it made something real in my life. It was the quickening power of God. Him trying to help me to see, James, listen, there's a real heaven and people go to it. And I come by and I'll let down my little bed and I'll pick them up and I'll take them right up into heaven. And it put a fear of God in my heart. This evening, God wants to quicken us. How's He going to do it? He quickens us by His Word. He can quicken you by an experience you had. There might be something that you've been going through. There can be a good friend that you had that was close to you. And all of a sudden, they turn their face and they say, I don't want anything to do with you. And they go away. It hurts. Yes, it hurts. But it's in those times that God can come by and say, listen, I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll help you through these difficult times. And when you want to cry and nobody wants to listen to you, I'll listen to you. I'll be your friend. That's God's way of quickening us. It's always His way. Whenever He sends a disappointment or something our way, he's using that to make us alive. He's doing something in our life. He wants to regenerate us. He wants to put that power back in us to keep going and keep walking on. I've got three little mottos I've been working on for years. It's keep silent, keep sweet, and keep stepping. Those three things are necessary for me and my Christian life. There's sometimes you have to remember that God wants you to be quiet. He doesn't want you to explain your way out of things or give big He just wants you to be quiet. He wants you to be still. There's times that we want to get up and do things. There's the quickening power of God will give us grace to be still. One of the biggest, one of the hardest things to do sometimes is to be still. Be still. Don't do anything. Just sit still. The Lord wants us to learn that, to wait on Him. We want to go and rush in and do something. We want to rush in and take care of this and rush in. There's times that I say to us, through the quickening power of God, He wants us to be still. I think about this zealousness that God wants us to have. Being zealous, He wants us to be people that are doers of the word and not hearers only. Another part that I wrote down about not being slothful is this. The writer, and I don't know his name, I would give him credit, but he said, quit being slothful. Quit acting like someone who has lost his enthusiasm and excitement and has now sunk into a state of being slow, boring, monotonous, sluggish, dull, and uninterested. Although it may look like we're going somewhere on the outside, inwardly we're stuck in neutral. And we're going nowhere. Eradicate any hint of spiritual neutrality. View the loss of your passion and momentum and desire as totally unacceptable. And I think when we do that and when we come to conclusions and terms with God, I'm not accepting this as the new norm. I'm not accepting this in my life as something that's from God. I'm viewing the slowdowns and the weights that I've been feeling and this lack of momentum and lack of drive as something from Satan. He is clouding my mind. He is doing things to overthrow me. He is trying to bring up all of my failures of the past to slow me down for today, and I will not let it. Folks, we have but one thing, that is today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is not here. All we have is today. And today, let's enjoy the strength of God. Today, let's enjoy the blessings that we have and not let the regrets of yesterday slow us down and pull us back. I watched these men in the prison and talk to them different times about their life and try to kind of find out where they're at. Many, many times, I get the vision in my mind of a boat that has a rope with an anchor. The anchor is thrown out and it just is determined on the length of rope as to how far the boat goes. I've watched men, their conversation, and I've watched and I wonder, all right, how far are they going to go until we hit the end of the rope and they stop this point of conversation? And it's all going to go in a big circle now. The boat's not going anywhere. It's going in a circle because it's got a chain or a rope down to an anchor that has them fastened solid. And so, therefore, many times we spend our life in a big circle. That circle can be big or small, but it's a circle. It's a circle. We're not going anywhere. But we're staying inside of that circle. It is going to take the quickening power of God to cut the rope, to pull up anchor, and let our boat get going where we should be. I want to encourage all of you today. There are strong hurts. There are things, there's disappointments. There's failures of our own. And we can mope in that and we can live in the yesterdays. You're the free choice agent here. You can live in those for all the rest of your life, or you have a choice to be quickened. And that quickening power will help us to pull up those ropes with the heavy anchors on them and to start making progress and get going, start sailing. One of my dreams as a boy, we would draw houseboats, sailboats, any kind of boats. I remember had the dream of sailing the seven seas. It's not very much of my wife's dream. I said, honey, we could stop from island to island and preach the gospel. It's just not much. And you know, there's a man that I found out, a deputy that flies in, and he takes these big sailboats and real expensive, and then he finds enough people to go with him, and he'll fly to some remote island, sometimes a long ways off, and he'll have a crew, and he will get paid by the sailboat's owner, and plus he makes all the money from the people that he's got passengers, and he'll sail them home. And oh, it sounded so exciting. I thought, oh, this would be, my wife said, just go, you know, that sounds like what you want to do. Just go. And the price was a little bit way too out of my line. And then he said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, sometimes we get in some 40-foot swells. 40-foot swells? That's 40 feet? Yeah, he said, sometimes you can't see over the next one. All you can see is that next one coming up. And he said, everybody usually gets sick and you can't sleep. Well, I think I'll just keep drawing on paper a little and thinking about it. I'm not really committed to going that far. Oh, but don't let lie. It's time to set sail. Really, it is. The quickening Spirit of God wants to help us to set sail, because there's places we have to go in our spiritual life. There's destinations that you're called to be at, and I am, and there's people to meet, and there's things to do. And here we are worried about how tall our shoes are. We're worried about how we look. No, the quickening Spirit of God will help us, and He's got a beautiful, B-E-A-U-T-I-F-U-L, a beautiful life for you to live. Beautiful. He's going to take those. I remember Brother Tony brought a message one time I've never forgot about. He makes the solitary person set in families. He takes a person like me and puts them with a Husky family. And all of a sudden they came from a family that hardly even shakes hands. Folks, it's hugging and kissing and going on. And I look at that. Well, they just love one another. And that wasn't the way I was brought up, but he took me from a place of being in just with three boys into we have 15 grandchildren and 6 children. That's wonderful. I couldn't have planned that out myself. It's God. God has that design. We just have to be faithful. And when we let His quickening Spirit work in our life, I want to encourage you this evening, God has something beautiful, something very beautiful for us. So let's just quit being slothful. Let's just ask God to help us and put back within our hearts that momentum that we once had. And redirect our focus and help us to see where we really need to be paying attention. May the Lord bless us all this evening. Don't be slothful. Don't let the pull of this world, don't get caught in that boil. It'll keep you there for years. It didn't take these boys very long to die. They was probably gone in 10 minutes time, 15 minutes at the most. They were probably gone. thing to see them, their life gone now. Everything's gone. They got caught in the boil. And if we're not careful, this we'll miss something in life, this quickening spirit, having the Holy Spirit working in our life. It may be a disaster if we miss this. So seek God with all your heart. Ask Him to help us this evening, and He'll surely do that for us. May the Lord bless you tonight. Amen.